Now, on this 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time, we're going to look at the Gospel. And the Gospel is Matthew 20, verses 1 to 16. And it's a wonderful challenge. You know, we think of our Lord as being so kind and so nice, and then he tells us a story like this one, and we say, you know, he's hard to figure out. You know, he's really the Son of God. And he has different values. And he's saying, when you get these values, you'll understand. Now, I want to say a few words of introduction. We're at chapter 20 in a section that began in chapter 18 of Matthew. And it's all about life in the community. If I were to go back, well, I have it open, I could go back a little bit and show you. You see, it starts off in chapter 18 with life in the kingdom, right? So what do all the disciples want to know first? How can I serve in the kingdom? No. Who's the greatest in the kingdom? That fits, right? And so he said, I'll tell you who's greater. He calls over a little child and he hugs him. And he says, here, this is the greatest. Anybody who receives the kingdom like this, that's the greatest. Because it means totally open. Catherine Doherty, the foundress of Madonna House, used to have this prayer. Lord, give me the heart of a child and the awesome courage to live it. It's a very harsh and severe discipline to keep yourself childlike, open, trusting, not cynical. You know, it's work. So the first thing is, who's the greatest, you see? And then, what about if you're living in community, in the parish, in the community, and you tempt somebody to sin, you're the cause of their sin, it'd be better for you if they took a millstone. A millstone is big, you know, it weighs a couple hundred pounds at least. Tie it around your neck and throw you in the lake. He means it. I mean, he does talk in hyperbole, but, you know, if you repent just before we throw you, we won't throw you. But, you know, if you're going to cause other people to sin, I think of this and pray so much. Look at our dear television. How many of these women are doing nothing but enticing men to sin? Better for them to have a millstone tied around the neck and thrown in the lake. Well, let's pray that it doesn't come to that, that they come to their senses and they don't use the body God gave them as a way of making money by enticing men to sin. So then, well, suppose somebody does sin now. This person was caused to sin. So now it's a lost sheep. That's the next part of this. I just thought you'd be interested in the treatise on life in the kingdom. The first one is, who's the greatest? That's the first thing we want to know, right? Take me to the president, you know. And Jesus is saying, you know, I'm the greatest because I'm the least. The least is the greatest, right? Well, who else gets insulted, beaten, and crucified out of love? I'm the least. That's why I'm the greatest. I laid down my life for you. And so the lost sheep, you see, and this is the parable of Luke put into a Matthean version, if you will. So he leaves it and goes to find it. Then we get the famous one that we had in a gospel very recently. If your brother sins, you see, go tell him and work it out. And you see, and then Peter. Well, listen, Jesus, while we're on the subject of forgiveness, tell me, how many times am I supposed to forgive somebody who offends me? Seven? You think that's a pretty big number. Jesus says, Peter, 70, 70, 70, 70 sevens. And then he tells a story which we just had recently, might have even been last week. No, it wasn't, because we had some other thing. Maybe it was. Anyway, and the story is, this guy who owns another fellow servant, the national debt. How he got enough money to ever, you know, anyway, the national debt. Too big to count. just give me a chance, I'll pay you back. Well, there's no way he's going to pay it back. So he gets him thrown into jail. And then, you see, somebody comes along, you see, and does that. Whereas he treated his brother that way, you see. So then we have two more categories in the community. One is the children. Children should be seen and not heard. No. Children should be accepted and blessed and cared for with love, firmness, truth, and affection. That's how you deal with children. You give them the truth and you help them live it. And if they know you love them, they'll try to do better. That's the way we are. Okay. And so, who's the, you see now, the disciples are saying, don't bother him with the kids. This is the greatest preacher who ever lived, and you want him to be bothered with these kids? And Jesus says, bring him over here. And as Matthew puts it, you see, brought him to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. You see? And then, okay, somebody says, all right, I'm in. The rich young man. But Jesus looks at him carefully. Mark says he looked at him and loved him. He says, what am I going to do to gain eternal life? And now Jesus says, for you, sell everything. Give it to the poor and come follow me and you'll have riches in heaven. That's what these other 12 guys did. One of them didn't make it, but the other 11, they gave up everything and followed Jesus. And they're the happy ones. Okay, now we've gone through all the classifications in the community, right? And now Matthew, starting with chapter 20, you see, levels everybody by mercy. Whether you're a big shot, a little shot, whether you came to work at the first hour or the last hour, whatever, you know, whether you got great gifts or no gifts, you know, whether you're a child or a, everybody's leveled by mercy. So he tells this parable, and people don't like it. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, we can see this in most big cities to this day. The new people coming to our country, they need a job. They're willing to work for a day, you know. So these young men are out in the parking lot or wherever they are, waiting to get hired for the day. They say, okay, we're going to pay you $8, $10, whatever the wage is now, dollars an hour, okay? At the end of the day, they're paid. The next day, they wait again. So, these are the men. He goes out, and after agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Then he went out again. That was just about dawn. About 9 o'clock in the morning, he goes out again. And he says, you go into my vineyard, and I'll give you what is just. Just. So they go. They're glad to have a job. If you've ever been around those parking lots when these the guys come back, the foreman figures he can use two more guys. Two more guys are going to be able to support their wife and children tonight, you know. They're happy. So sure, we'll go. Then he went out again about noontime. Keep picturing this parking lot. See what I mean? They're all waiting around. They're day laborers. They don't have a contract. They don't have anything. Okay. Why do you stay? And then going out at about 5 o'clock, just about the end of the day, the text doesn't say 5 o'clock. They're trying to update it so that we feel it better. The sixth hour, ninth hour doesn't mean much to us. He said to them, why are you here all day? Because nobody hired us. Okay, you go into my vineyard, and at the end of the day, I'll pay you something just. Okay. Now, this is the part that annoys everybody. Okay, so they call him. And he said to his foreman, summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first. Our Lord is tough, isn't he? He wants to love the last like the first. Well, I'm kind of glad he does that because, you know, I don't know whether I'm certainly not first. If I'm among the last and I'm willing to do whatever, work for whatever, you know, I'm going to be in good shape. So go get the last. And so when those who had started about 5 in the morning came, and they each received his usual daily wage. So the first, when they came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them got the usual wage, which was a denarius, if you remember. Okay. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, these last ones worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who bore the heat and burden of the day. Now listen. See, this is what I mean by leveled by mercy. Whether you're an apostle or whether you're a punk, you know, if you're trying to love Jesus, you could get paid the same wages. At least if you don't, and you do, according to this story, who cares? Have I been working for money or have I been working for Jesus? Have I been working for eternal glory? Not negligible. Have I been working for my Lord? Pay me what you want, Jesus. I love you. I want to work for you. That's the moral of the story. So it goes on, you see. These last ones worked only an hour, and you made them equal to us. And we were out there all day in the heat. He says to one of them in reply, my friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do what I want with my own money? And then our text literally says, is your eye evil because I'm good? That's very Semitic, you know. Watch the eyes. In Psalm 72, it talks about the evil ones. They're fat. They dress well, you know. They shoot their mouth off. And their eyes glint inside the fat. It's powerful. Well, if you ever met, you do meet people like this, you know. Real crooks. God, they could change in a minute. And when they do, sometimes they get to be great because they know their way around. But, you see, is your eye evil? You see, literally, do you look at me evilly because I'm generous? Do you want to curse me because I didn't pay you more? You see? Thus, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Now, who wants to work for the kingdom? What's the daily wage? Jesus Christ. What's the daily wage? Life with the Trinity forever. Yeah, but I mean, you know, I got religion when I was 20, and I've been working hard all my life. This guy, you know, he just had a conversion at 60. And we're going to be the same? But then Jesus asks us, what have you been working for, yourself or me? I told you I'd give you me forever. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough? In other words, big shot or little shot, work all day, not celibate, married, you know, rich, poor, married, single, celibate. You see, only thing you need to do to continue living in this community is what? Forgive. That's the price of admission. Now, if you're trying to work for me and you're trying your best to forgive, I'm telling you, I might pay you the same as I paid St. Joseph. You'd say, wow, that would be neat. Probably not, but you see what I mean? So we have to try to say, Jesus, I'm not working for pay. I'm working for you. Amen.